Hello and welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. My name is Dave Buhner, filling in for Kevin Swanson, who is at the San Antonio Christian Independent Film Festival this week. He's a judge. Kevin, I'd like to say, judge not lest ye be judged, but that's your job. So I guess good judging to you. Well, today we're going to talk about corruption. See, the Transparency International organization tracks different nations, and they have a corruption index, and they try and figure out, based on this index, how corrupt a nation is. Some nations being very corrupt, like Iraq, for instance, was very corrupt. Other nations being less corrupt. Well, America, well, for the first time, we've broken through the 20 barrier. Now we're number 22. 22 from the top, which is our worst score ever. In other words, America is becoming a more corrupt nation than it has ever been. We're becoming more corrupt even as the world is becoming more corrupt, but we're becoming more corrupt faster. We've fallen a long, long ways. Let me give you an example of some corruption. Well, first of all, what is corruption? Corruption, of course, in the government would deal with largely bribery, abuse of government power, especially when it comes to legitimate enemies within a group that's in power. In other words, another party, for instance, if another party is being treated punitively, that would be corruption if they're abusing the law to do that. Or voter intimidation, that would be corruption. Or in this case, and I want to talk about using the power of the government to take over an industry and to punish one's political opponents. Ron Paul writes in his webpage that this particular administration, the Obama administration, has engaged in the worst scandal probably in American history. Now, I might take some exception to that. We had Jackson killing the Indians and so forth. But in modern history, this particular scandal, dealing particularly with Chrysler Corporation, is far greater in its impact and its corruption than what we had with Lewinsky, what we had with Watergate, or any other form of corruption in recent times. The epic proportion of the corruption here has to be understood by a timeline. Now, we need to roll back the time a little bit, and we remember a few years ago that the car companies, the big three, were all in deep trouble. Chrysler was no exception, GM was in trouble, and so was Ford. But like GM, the government said Chrysler was too big to fail. Whatever that means, they didn't want to see the name Chrysler go away. Well, the feds organized what they called an automotive task force. And they appointed a guy who literally has the title of czar to head up this task force. This person is Stephen Ratner. Now, Stephen Ratner is very critical to understanding the corruption here. Stephen Ratner is married to Maureen White. Now, who's Maureen White? Maureen White is the former National Finance Committee chairman for the Democratic National Committee. As such, she had access to all political donations from either party. So if you were a Republican and you donated to a Republican cause, she understood that. If you were a Democrat and voted and donated to a Democrat or donated to a Republican, she would understand, she would have access to that as well. So the entire political donation landscape was at her fingertips. Her husband is heading the auto czar office. Well, Stephen Ratner puts together a list of Chrysler dealerships that are supposed to be closed. Originally, the White House tells us that Chrysler puts together the list. This is not true. This has been proven factually to be false. It was put together, the list of the dealerships to be closed was put together by Stephen Ratner. Now, what's of interest here is that 789 Chrysler dealerships were closed. Of those 789, 788 of them donated money to Republican campaigns and none to Democrats. So 788 out of 789 are donating politically to the Republicans. The Democrats put them out of business. Now, very interesting. You say, what about the one, number 789? Well, number 789 did donate to Democrat causes. They donated $7,700 to Hillary's campaign, $2,000 to John Edwards' campaign, and $200 to Barack Obama's campaign. Apparently, they didn't like that ratio, and so Stephen Ratner put them on the hit list. What we have here is the government putting out of business, using the force of government in an unconstitutional and an illegal act, a highly corrupt act, putting their opponents out of business, putting financial strain on them. You remember the words of the Declaration of Independence? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal by their creator. Obama doesn't get that creator part. And they have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Pursuit of happiness means the ownership of property. The government is depriving people from the ownership of property in the form of dealerships simply because they don't agree politically with the White House's or the current administration's agenda. This is what is meant by corruption. This is why, in one case, we're number 22. Oh, by the way, the press has been telling us that Fiat owns Chrysler. We now know this to be not true at all. Fiat owns about 20% of Chrysler. About 15% of Chrysler is owned by private stock. And you know who holds the rest? You do. The federal government. We talk about GM being government motors, but really Chrysler, the majority of the stock is owned by the federal government. Put it all together. Got a suffering car company too big to fail? The government now owns it. The government puts out of business dealers who don't support the agenda of the current administration. Thuggery, bribery, corruption. This is what we have. Now, I believe this is part of a larger strategy that's in play right now in corruption. There are two people that you need to know and become familiar with. One is Richard Cloward, and the other is Francis Fox Piven. These two men were lifelong members of the Democratic Socialists of America. They taught sociology at Columbia University. Oh, by the way, didn't Barack Obama go to Columbia? I maybe have that wrong. Piven later on went to teach at City University of New York. They outlined a strategy that seeks to hasten the fall of capitalism by overloading the government bureaucracy with a flood of impossible demands, thus pushing society into crisis and economic collapse. That's their idea. Their idea is to put so much weight on the system that the system itself will collapse. When you think about such an illegal action as what happened at Chrysler, well, what does it take to undo that? First off, you have to have some political courage. You got to get it to the courts. The courts have to rule. And then what? How do you get the stock back into the private stockholders' hands? How do you hire people? 100,000 jobs that have been lost. How do you hire them back? How do you restore the dealerships? Well, you can't. The system can't accommodate it. They're putting pressure on the system. They're putting pressure on the system through TARP bailouts. There's a great example of corruption where the government passes a bill, Senate and Congress didn't read it. They don't know what's in it. They couldn't know what's in it. It was written by union members and staffers and special interest groups that puts money not in the hands of what they called shovel-ready projects, as Obama last month said there were no such thing as shovel-ready projects, put it in the hands of Democrat interests. You bet that money didn't go to Chrysler dealerships who donated to Republicans. No, of course it went to groups like Acorn. Now, the Cloward-Piven strategy, as implemented, is seeking to build structures to overwhelm the system. They built Acorn. Cloward and Piven implemented a strategy of creating these radical organizations. The most notable one was Acorn, with the help of Wade Rathke. Now, their crowning achievement was something called the Motor Voter Act. You know the Motor Voter Act? It's the one where you can just show up at the polls and vote. Well, the Motor Voter Act has done more to make our elections corrupt than nearly any other thing in American history, except for maybe this. This week, the Ninth Circuit Court ruled that Arizona's law requiring identification at the voting polls to be unconstitutional. Because, you see, to prove citizenship put an undue burden on the workers because they didn't all have copy machines. There was no Xeroxes. See, that would put an undue burden on it. So we have to let other people vote. The Motor Voter Act has made it legal for millions of dead people all over Chicago to vote in elections, or Indians to vote in, in Minnesota and then cross over and vote in the next state. For people who don't even have breath to vote, we have the Al Franken situation. It has been a invitation into voter fraud. Al Franken finding a couple hundred votes in the back of a truck somewhere that weren't counted. Oh, by the way, we didn't need to count the soldiers' votes. Yet more corruption. This Motor Voter Act has, and the Ninth Circuit Court decision has made it legal for illegals to vote and decide the government of which they have no part. This is quite amazing. This is corruption in action. Now, their decision actually has some rationale behind it beyond the Xeroxes. If you don't have to be a citizen to be president, maybe you don't have to be a citizen to vote. Makes sense. We'll talk about more corruption right after this. We'll be right back.
Maybe you've heard of home education. For the last 25 years, families have been bringing education home as they integrated education back into the family. Now this is spawning a new movement, and it's called family-based economics. Could this movement salvage the family? Could it save an economy or produce a sustainable agriculture? You know, when the debt-based economic systems fail, when the family fails, when the non-sustainable agricultural systems fail, what are you going to do? It's time to get a vision for biblical family-based economics now. The wise man builds his systems on the rock. Now the foolish men didn't, and now look at what's happening. We're taking the 2011 Family Economics Conference to North Carolina on March 11th and 12th, 2011. Invited speakers include Doug Phillips from Vision Forum, Eric Weir from Weir Capital Investments, Scott Brown, and yours truly, Kevin Swanson. We're talking about how you will prepare your children for the future without brick-and-mortar colleges. We're talking about mentorships, contractualization, networking into the changing economies, family dynamics in the integrated economy, family inheritance, bootstrapping entrepreneurism, sustainable family economic systems, and family health care options that avoid socialist medical systems. Folks, almost every developed nation today reports social and economic decline on the macro scale. But we believe that our families can thrive in the midst of it all. We can build gardens in the ashes. For more information, you need to check out conference2011.com now. That's conference2011.com.
And welcome back to Generations. My name is Dave Buhner, filling in for Kevin Swanson. And today we're talking about corruption. That's right, the destruction of a system. And really, corruption is the destruction of a dream, a vision for America. America was founded on godly principles. It was founded on covenant. When the pilgrims were sitting off in Plymouth Harbor and they were looking off to the land that they were going to inhabit, before they took the land, they signed the Mayflower Compact, which began in the words, "In the name of God, amen." And they covenanted before God that this land would be used for God's glory. And that can only be done, of course, if they use God's law. Well, since God's law has been cast aside, since we stopped teaching the fear of God, since we stopped praying in schools, since we started creating a distinctly secular society, we'll see the increase of corruption, which is, of course, is the violation of honest government, the bribes, intimidation, all these things that the law of God would have forbidden will not only creep in, they'll be invited in because they're pragmatic. When Obama closes Chrysler dealerships, he is doing much harm to a cause that would oppose him. He is trying to hurt his enemies because he sees opposing political parties as enemies. But sometimes when you're corrupt, the very people that would support your corruption, it backfires on. This is a story, I don't know, it's kind of funny. There's a man who works for the union who is building a stage. He's hired to build a stage where Barack Obama is going to make an appearance. Now, the problem is, this man, he has a son who serves in the Navy. And his son who serves in the Navy serves on a carrier. And the name of this carrier is named after a former president. And the name of that former president shares a name with another former president. So the former president is George Herbert Walker I. That's what the carrier is named after. It's Bush 41. And so this man is wearing a cap and a shirt, a sweatshirt, that gives homage to the boat that his son is serving on, George Herbert Walker. Well, the union isn't really thrilled with a man running around with the name Bush on his shirt, and so they fire him. Now, here's a little newscast on that story. In some ways, the irony is just delicious.
Story about a guy who was working here as a stagehand was actually fired for wearing a Bush sweatshirt this morning. Let me show you some pictures now. Dwayne Hammond, he is a stagehand, a union stagehand, who is working to put up the Obama rally stage here on campus this morning. He was wearing a hat that said George H.W. Bush and a sweatshirt that said the same thing. Now, the George H.W. Bush is the name of an aircraft carrier that Dwayne's son is serving on. His son has been in the Navy for the last 3 years. Dwayne says his union fired him from his job here this morning, setting up the stage, because he was wearing clothing with the name Bush on it.
I'm just humiliated. You know what? This is ridiculous. My son's been in the Navy for 3 years. He's serving proudly, and I'm wearing his flag, so to speak, and because it said Bush, I was told to go home and either turn my sweatshirt inside out. They didn't ask me to go change my clothes. They said turn it inside out. First, they made me take off my hat.
We haven't been able to get a comment yet from the IATSE stagehands union that Dwayne belongs to, but we will try and reach them later on this morning.
So there you have it. You can't even wear the name of a political opponent, even if he's not running against you, because he represents another ideology. Imagine if a man had been fired from his job for wearing an Obama shirt. Imagine the uproar we would have heard. Well, of course, you're not going to hear that, because that would be racism, wouldn't it? Well, America is corrupt. We were 19 last year in the top uncorrupt nations. Now we're number 22. Number one, by the way, is Denmark, followed by New Zealand, Singapore, Finland, Sweden, and Canada. Canada is six, America. We're number 22. Should tell you something. At the bottom of the list are your non-Christian nations, nations like Somalia, Afghanistan, Iraq, Uzbekistan, Sudan, Chad. These nations that are either pagan or Muslim tend to be at the bottom in terms of corruption, in terms of bribery, and the abuse of power. Well, let's look at another way in which corruption is affecting our nation. We have an election coming up here in just a few days, and there is all sorts of suspicion, accusation, and foul play about whether or not votes are going to be counted and counted correctly. I mailed in our ballots in Colorado. You can choose to mail your ballot in instead of going to the polling place. It makes it convenient. I think it would be better if we actually had to go to a polling place and make it a little more inconvenient so that only those who cared about government voted. But in Colorado, you can choose to mail your ballot in. And I mailed my ballot in today with my wife's. And she asked me this question. How do we know they're even going to count our ballot? I mean, they may say we're in El Paso County. It's a conservative ballot. 20% of them are just not, we're going to lose. We're not going to count them. Well, the answer is we don't know. We have to trust our government. We have to trust the election officials. There has to be trust in the system. Corruption destroys the trust. If you have ballots not being counted, if you have voting machines that are not recording accurately, if you have soldiers who vote from overseas, who are serving in the U.S. military, who have not received their ballots on time and are told they're not allowed to vote because of a problem in getting them the ballot on time, the whole trust of the system erodes. You see, corruption destroys trust, and trust destroys, lack of trust will destroy commerce, it will destroy anything we have in government. Corruption will eventually lead to complete total anarchy, and lead will fly if we don't reverse the trend. Well, as an example of some of the voting problems that we've seen, in Nevada, Harry Reid is running against Sharron Angle. Harry Reid is the Democrat nominee. He is the current senator from Nevada. He is the Senate Majority Chairman also. So Harry Reid has been instrumental in ramming through the current administration's agenda, including the TARP bailouts, including the Chrysler issue, including government health care, etc. Well, in Nevada, they have electronic voting machines. And in the largest county, where about 80% of the people preside, those voting machines are serviced and maintained by union members, specifically the SEIU, the Service Employee International Union. These are by far some of the most rabid supporters of Democrats and Democrat causes. Andy Stearns is their chairman. Andy once said publicly that if we could not win the populace by the power of persuasion, we would use the persuasion of power. I think that gives us some insight into just where this man lies and what he thinks about. He thinks that you can use the power of the government to persuade people rather than having people persuade the government. Well, this union that Andy Stearns is over, that this union that supports Obama, the purple and yellow union that you see everywhere, they maintain the voting machines. They also maintain the slot machines, by the way. So, you know, just if you're going to Vegas, just a word, maybe the slot machines are maintained by a union. I don't know if they can tell if you gave to Republicans or Democrats, but the union is supporting them. The problem is in this county, where most of the votes reside, which is the county in which Las Vegas is in, the voting machines are maintained by the SEIU, and people who are going to these voting machines have noticed a problem. When you start voting, the name Harry Reid is already checked. Now, I'm not saying that all the names are checked, but Harry Reid's name is already checked. So if you choose not to vote, or if you choose not to unvote, Harry Reid has already got your vote. This is obvious corruption of the polling places. This is an attempt to steal elections. But why are we surprised? We should not be surprised that somebody would try and steal elections. If you have government officials who will reach into your back pocket and steal your property, be it your dealership or through taxes, they'll steal your children and run them off to the schools who will be indoctrinated into humanist causes. Why? Why would you ever be surprised that they would try and steal an election? They've shown no integrity when it comes to trust with wealth, trust with property, or trust with your children. Why do you think they would show integrity in a political process? There's really no reason to, because either they fear God and will keep his commandments, or they will create their own arbitrary commandments, and their own arbitrary commandments are based on what works for them, what is pragmatic and practical, what gives them power. What's more is the Cloward-Pliven strategy, which is at play here, seeks to overwhelm the system. So you don't have a little corruption here that you can address. You have corruption everywhere, so you can't address it all at once. Let us not forget the Black Panther case, where this administration knew of two men standing outside the polling place with nightsticks right in front of the door, threatening voters, and the administration chose not to prosecute them for voter intimidation. Now, why was that? Well, the answer is simple. They were intimidating the right group. Now, if you were intimidating the other group, that would have been guilty. See, what we have is corruption. We have power seeking more power. That's what corruption is. Be it through bribery, be it through intimidation, be it through the force of the government, even in an unconstitutional act like the Chrysler case, this government is being unconstitutional. Well, Ben Franklin, at the founding of this nation, said it very clearly. Either you'll be ruled by God, or by God you'll be ruled. And when this nation decided to cast off the law of God, when we decided to break covenant, whether it be at the federal level, the state level, or our marriages, or with our children, we cast aside the very light to the path of righteousness. And because we are not going to be under God, one nation under God and under his law, we will be under the foot of God, or by God will be ruled, means that the tyrants, the corrupt tyrants, will turn this into a third world nation, and we're well on our way. John Adams was asked as he was coming back from the Constitutional Convention what form of government we had. And he replied it was a constitutional republic. He said, quote, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and a religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other." Only for a moral and a religious people. See, the problem with corruption in our government is the problem in our hearts. We get the government we choose. We get the government we allow. It's not because we didn't give enough money to the Republicans. The Republicans have their own scandals. I mean, I talk about Larry Sinclair and his wide stance. Larry Sinclair and his wide stance in the bathroom leads to the destruction of Chrysler. They're related because the hearts of men, when they will not submit to the law of God, God will submit them to the tyranny of men. This government, this Constitution, is a covenantal form of government. If the people are not moral such that we can trust one another, we can trust our officials, we can trust ourselves, we can trust our wives, we can trust our bosses. If there is no trust in the system, this government, this form of government won't work. Only a coercive form of government can work. It's no longer the government by the consent of the governed. It is government by the force of those who are in power. Might makes right. And the great American experiment will fail because we left the foundations of the law of God. We sent our children to the state schools where they learned something, but not in the fear of God. They learned how to be good cogs in the socialist machinery, not to upset the apple cart. But they didn't learn how to fear God, how to serve Him, how to rule. We'll not take this country back until we take it back in our own lives, until we live lives of integrity, until the pulpits of this land stop preaching a watered-down gospel that only has to do with some future redemption and not some current living as subjects of a king. That two-kingdom view that some people are promoting where God's law doesn't have any relevance in civil society, that's only for God's kingdom, and God's kingdom is out there somewhere. This is man's kingdom right now, and one day we'll be in God's kingdom, but right now we're in man's kingdom. This view is hugely detrimental to the peace of society. It will lead to an incredible tyranny. We need to go back to the wisdom that Jethro gave to Moses. Moses had a problem. There was Moses and there was all of Israel, and Moses couldn't rule Israel. Israel needed leaders and needed civil magistrates. And Jethro, speaking, I believe, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, told Moses these words, and I think these words should be guiding to us, they are God's words, that we should select from the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place over them to be rulers of tens of hundreds of thousands. Able men. Now some have said this is the year of the woman. This is the Sarah Palin crowd, the Sharon Angles, and maybe these are the most righteous candidates out there. But as long as we don't have able men, we will not be ruled according to the law of God. Nothing against the women here, but they're not men. But they have to be men who are able. They have to be men who are gifted in administration, men who will fight and have the wherewithal to fight for righteousness, such as fear God. We had a couple of candidates for governor on here 4 years ago on this program, and we asked both Republican candidates whether or not they feared God. And neither one of them would admit to fearing God. See, there's no fear of God in the system, so why not be corrupt? Why not cheat? Why not steal? Does it matter if you take a campaign contribution and put it in your back pocket? Does it matter if you lie, cheat? If there is no God, if you're not fearing God, there is no eternal justice, pragmatism will win. So we need to seek out able men who fear God, who hate covetousness, and that's the covetousness for power. Those who are seeking to acquiesce more and more power for themselves, to become gods unto themselves, these men should be shunned at the polls. I'm personally in favor of term limits just to help thwart the covetousness of men who seek to be in office and in power and become corrupt and arrogant in their power. These are the kinds of rulers that we have in place now, and these are the kinds of rulers we should vote out. And those who are men of truth. And this is a sad, sad time, because the old joke goes, how do you know if a politician is lying? Well, when his lips are moving. And as cynical as that statement is, the reason we laugh is because it's probably more true than false. We simply do not have rulers who fear God, who hate covetousness, who are men of truth. We do not have able men. But we're not going to have able men unless we raise them, and we're not going to raise them unless fathers and mothers take their children and teach them the law of God, unless we open it up to them when they rise up and when they lie down and when they walk along the road. And if we keep sending our kids to the socialist schools, we have no reason to complain that God gives us a socialist government. If we don't preach the word of God from the pulpits, we will live under the tyranny of the law of men. It's really that simple. It begins with us. May God have mercy on us as a nation. May God have mercy on us as his people. Because we are the people of God who are called by his name. And if we'll humble ourselves and seek his face, then he'll hear from heaven and he'll heal our land. But not until then. Well, if you'd like to interact with this radio program, you can do so by emailing us at host@generationswithvision.com. And you can hear this program any place, anywhere in the world, by tuning in to generationswithvision.com. We're also on the American Family Association Homeschool Network at thehomeschoolchannel.tv. Hope to see you next time. My name's Dave Buhner. Won't you join us again as we cast a vision for the next generation?